You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Good morning. 8:07 in the morning in the Wake Up Tucson verse. Welcome to you all. It's the annual Thanksgiving show. We've already had a very, very busy show. We had our friends from Gospel for Asia, Dan Shearer from the Green Valley News, U.S. Congressman Andy Biggs, U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. Bruce Ash is hanging out with me today on our
assistant. Oh,
he is engineering, getting people headphones and such. And of course, it's our Thanksgiving Hanukkah show because Hanukkah is on Sunday. So we've been definitely playing some Adam Sandler Hanukkah song before it's all over. Good morning to Stephen Farley, CEO and El Presidente at the Humane Society of Southern Arizona. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Let's do that again. Good morning, Stephen Farley. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Is my mic working now?
See, this is what happens. So
I'll show you what's going on.
Should I? Let's.
You see, just heard the engineer's problem.
This the best part was I was pointing on Steve to go to one. I don't know why, right? And then Bruce really wanted to snuggle up with Steve, right? And so he's like, "No, sit over here, buddy," right? And oh, look at that. When the microphone is plugged in, it works better.
It works better that way, doesn't it?
I love analog. Of course, Bruce just bragged that he was the engineer today.
It's true.
Okay, well, I'm not much on details. What do you want from me? How the hell do I know where the thing's plugged in? It's supposed to be plugged in.
Well, let's start that again. Good morning, Steve Farley.
Good morning. It is a good morning now that I can talk.
So, what's the state of the union right now? Here we are in November 2021 at the Humane Society.
We're doing well. We're doing well. Our adoptions are staying high. We're still, our thrift store is phenomenal in terms of the people going there for the holiday stuff. We got a whole holiday section. It's now our number two seller, and we're seeing more people come in there than we have since we opened in the early summer. All those revenues are going to help all the homeless pets that we serve and everything else that we do.
Wilmot, just north of 22nd.
Exactly.
So just north of our good friend Chef Chic, Wendy, our caterer, one of our favorite caterers and restaurants.
And we can pop over there for lunch anytime we're there.
You are correct. What have you, this is interesting. So here you are, you were state legislator doing your thing. You go into this job and seems like it's a good fit. How about being in the retail business? What has Steve Farley learned about being in the retail thrift business? What are the one or two lessons you've learned about running a thrift store?
Well, there's a lot of lessons you learn when you get full on into it. But
right.
When I came in, we were netting around $6,000 a year, which is arguable whether or not you should run a thrift store if that's all you're netting for the mission of the
right
organization.
Now, the goodwill of Arizona guys heard that and they start doing their evil laugh at that point. They're like,
exactly.
Ah, holy 6,000.
Yeah, but when we made a few moves and we are now heading towards netting over $500,000.
Wow.
So it's been big, and the number one thing is its personal connection. We've got an amazing thrift store manager, Karen. You've got to go down there and meet her. Used to have her on sometime because she is a character and a half.
Bring her.
Yeah, she's amazing. So I'll have to bring her by. But the people who come in, she knows every single one of them. And we make 1,100 sales a week. So that's a lot of people. But they keep coming in. She always knows what to talk to them. She remembers who their family is. It's just a real family situation.
What's your niche that, you know, from a sales standpoint that the thrift store sells the most of?
Well, one of the biggest things that we sell the most of, Sam Levitz Corporation is so generous to us. They give us all their old floor models, returns, things that have been in the warehouse for a while, mm-hmm. nearly new furniture that they give to us. So we can offer them at sometimes an 80 to 90% discount.
Wow.
And that's a huge seller for us.
Sure.
So people come in there and they figure if they want a new piece of furniture, we got something really good that's in the store and make that happen. But people are coming for all over the place. It's now a 16,000 square foot thrift store.
So do you guys do like estate sales and you know, get product from estate sales?
We don't do that. The girls has that kind of wrapped up, mm-hmm. and they do it really well just
right
up the street.
That's right.
Yeah, so we have a nice little thrift store row that we're creating in that place. But in effect, what we're doing is an estate sale because a lot of people bring over all their stuff when they're downsizing. when they're moving into a smaller place. So the amount of donations we get from the people who support us is amazing.
Do you pick up?
We do pick up, yes. We offer, we don't do it ourselves, but we have a third-party contractor run by, a company run by veterans that works with us. And when you go to our website and hssaz.org/thrift, you can click on a little thing that pops up and says if you want to pick it up. They do a nominal charge in order to come out, but they'll actually go into your house, upstairs, downstairs, big, heavy furniture if you got stuff you want to give also. So people have taken advantage of that to make that happen also, as well.
We just moved, and we got stuff that we can't find a place for in our new house. I'm sure there's lots of people like me.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that you guys did the pickups, because a lot of them aren't doing that anymore, period.
Yeah.
And you'll be hearing from us, buddy.
Well, that's why we got a great win-win solution. We got a company that benefits veterans,
right,
that is also willing to do it with no cost to us.
Right.
So that helps us a lot. And the thing is, we've gotten so much stuff. At one point, when we first opened up, we were 7 days a week. But then we realized we just didn't have the time of anywhere in the week to be able to put our stuff out and price them and get them all processed. So we are now closed Mondays. But what I noticed would happen is, go back to your original question, what you learned about retail. The fact that we closed to public on Mondays meant that Tuesday more than doubled what it was previously, because that's the day everybody gets the fresh stuff. So if you want to really get the fresh stuff over there, go on Tuesday. And then we restock throughout the week because we've already gotten on top of the pile. So there's always fresh stuff every day of the week, but it changes all the time.
They line up there like the old Black Friday morning.
Exactly.
They're all ready to jump in and kill each other for a 90% off couch. Love it.
No, it's phenomenal. And we've also learned a lot how you can't depend on the city of Tucson for trash pickup.
I'm in shock.
Oh, God, imagine that. If you were married.
You know, one of the interesting things, I finally got some action because I talked to Kazachik and had him talk to some folks there, and one of the supervisors came out. And apparently he made a joke with Karen, the shoe store manager, where he said, how many people work for the city of Tucson? And the answer was half of them.
Wow.
This was an employee for the city of Tucson.
We
had signed up for 6 day a week pickup, and we were getting maybe two if we were lucky.
So I've heard this number before, right? About the, you know, how many people are actually working, right?
Yeah.
The story came out last week that they're behind on 1,400 to 1,500 code violations. Because no one's working in development services and the inspector inspections.
Well, they're busy trying to deny people who are building things, because we actually have a project going on at we're building a new education behavioral center right next to our main campus.
Is that for humans or dogs?
Roger Road. It's for both.
Thank you.
we're actually going to have the U of A's Canine Cognition Institute, where they're doing research to find out how dogs think and how humans think with dogs. And they're actually going to have some places in there they'll be using. We'll have a giant training area that we'll be able to have a 2,500 square foot air conditioned space for being able to do more classes with people. But it's been, we submitted our plans last February, and we are still waiting for the final plans to get through. And it's nothing new to anybody who runs a business or is trying to build anything in this town, but it's certainly interesting when you're right in the middle of it and you're trying to do something right in the heart of Flowing Wells. It's going to be
And that's only the start of it, because then you have inspections that don't happen, and final CFOs that are difficult to get, because just when you think you've got it done, then the fire department comes in and says, oh, no. You thought you were going to get your final CFO. We have another few things that you need to do.
So think about this, just to make you feel better about all of the situation. So last week, KOLD reported that the city is now down 40% on employees total just working there. So then you take whatever's left over and then multiply that by 0.5, meaning the half that's not working. And we got ourselves quite
Any
a hoot.
Problems.
We got a little, quite ourselves a little bit of a hoot nanny, as
Maybe
we say.
Maybe that's the right size.
Right. You never know.
Well.
So, all right, I want to get Steve more in trouble by bashing on the city of Tucson. So that was enough saltiness from you, Farley.
Makes the case why this non-government agency needs the support this month from anybody who believes in what we do and wants to help us save homeless pets.
Let's talk about that on the other side of the
break. Let's do it.
Steve Farley, Christy Simone, Bruce Ass, hssaz.org to find out more. Look at little Rufus walking the dog. Here we go. Wake up, Tucson. This is a good deep track there, Matt Neely. Look at you. We very rarely play Lobo on the show, so me and you and the dog. A pleasant little tune to introduce this next segment with Stephen Farley with the Humane Society.
Song about a dog by a band named after a wolf.
Wow. Mm. Deep, deep.
It's a conspiracy theory.
wait till you play that crap backwards. Then it really gets weird. Yeah. So
it says me and you and a cat named Lou.
So tell me about this. You know, it's not the newest idea in the world, called a 50-50.
Yes.
But you guys seem to have taken to unbelievable heights, the 50-50 drawing at the Humane Society.
Well, it puts together two things that Tucsonans love is free money and help for our pets. So and basically if you buy tickets, and there's a whole bunch. The tickets are really cheap and really affordable. You go to HSSAZ5050.org. You can buy tickets. Depending on the more you buy, the cheaper they are.
Sure.
And you get half the money back. Real simple. You've seen it all over the place. But last time we did this was the first time we ever did it. We ended up with a $40,000 jackpot.
Wow.
So somebody walked away with 20 grand. They actually gave us back 8 of that. Just because they were generous enough to do that. And that was fantastic.
Look, if you were a numbers guy for the Gambini crime family and you were pulling in 40,000, you'd be like the leader in the clubhouse.
Oh, we're the leaders of the pack here. So
thank you.
We are already...
that's unbelievable.
We're over 25 grand and it ends on the 30th. So or is it the 29th? I better look that up. You look it up. Better yet, go to HSSAZ5050.org, and everyone will be able to see the deadlines on it. But it what happens is the last day, it really gets bid higher and higher and higher. So given the way we're going and tracking, because last time Facebook wasn't going to let us advertise until the last day. It was some weird Facebook thing.
They have high standards over at Meta.
That's right. Medivac, maybe. It's HSS. You have to put 50-50 after the HSSAZ 5050.org. That's the magic of it. Chris is looking it up right now as we talk. But it goes a real high in the last day, so we could get over 50,000 right now. It's at 25,340.
November
29th. I'm glad I didn't throw you off that way. At 10 p.m. is what the deadline is, Mountain Standard Time, which is us. So you have 5 days, 13 hours, 35 minutes, and 20 seconds to be able to get this in.
Look at that.
It's an incredible opportunity because there's no better definition of win-win. You're going to get a bunch of money, and our pets will be able to get their lives saved because of the money you're supporting. Because this is all our second chance program. That's when you have pets coming in, and they're really in bad shape. So we will not give up on them. We will find a way to be able to bring them back.
Before you took this gig, right, you had a knowledge as a government official, probably better than the average, you know, person out there, of what you thought the dog-cat situation was in relation to Pima County.
Mm-hmm.
What was it really? What's the real reality of what's going on in the dog-cat situation of... You know, unwanted animals, all of this stuff. Is it wild? Is it crazy? What is it out there? What's the reality?
It's a big universe of a lot of different people. Obviously, pets create a lot of passion in people, and they should, because we have a special relationship as humans with our dogs and cats. That's
sure.
Something that we go back a long ways with, and many ways during COVID, we had their pets was all people had. Particularly some older people living alone.
Sure.
They were choosing to feed their pets before they fed themselves. So it's a really passionate thing. So what it means is there's a lot of people working sometimes at cross purposes to try to help in different ways. One of the things I've been trying to do is bring more people together to be able to work in the same direction so that we can do this collaboratively.
That has been a challenge I've learned in the past is you have all of these little rescues.
Yeah.
Right? And putting the boats in the same direction would actually have, of course, better effect.
Exactly. And then you have different areas. We're now working with the city of Douglas, where they have a shelter that is just sort of nightmarish conditions. When we went down there and visited last year, they were euthanizing 30% of their dogs and 70% of their cats for space. They they're they had an issue. The shelter itself had little kennels that were 32 by 44 inches for dogs. There was no beds in them because it couldn't fit them. It was just concrete, filthy. Their cleaning regimen was to splash a little bit of Pine Sol in there. That does not kill the kinds of disease pathogens that pass there. So we have started doing intake of those dogs and cats from Douglas in order to save their lives. We've been able to work with Cochise County to do that. And when the dogs come up here and the cats come up here, they have drug-resistant coccidia, drug-resistant giardia, and they have to quarantine with us for sometimes 3 weeks before we can get them out and adopted. But we've actually worked with that shelter to be able to change their cleaning regimen, get the right chemicals, get the right plumbing in there, and do the right procedures so that we don't have them get the disease in the kennel after they've been brought in as strays.
Sure.
So we're trying to help all over Southern Arizona right now, all these areas that maybe didn't have the knowledge or the resources to be able to do what was right for their pets.
Two questions before you go. Are we still collecting food for...
Yes, wish for a full dish is throughout November.
You guys got all the cool little terms.
Oh, yeah. Our marketing department is fantastic. We've only got a couple of people there, but they're brilliant because we need to really tell the stories that we're doing all the time. But wish for a full dish. We're collecting dog food, cat litter to be able to donate to people who can't afford to give that for their pets. Because the more that we can enable people to feed their pets, the more pets can have homes in this area. So it's a great way to be able to help directly to help feed pets there as well. And we've got Giving Tuesday next Tuesday.
That's true.
Which is, we've got a very ambitious goal of $77,000 because it is our 77th birthday serving Southern Arizona as an independent, non-governmental nonprofit. And we only depend on the people of Southern Arizona support us. We don't start with an $11 million taxpayer-funded budget like another shelter in town does. So we need people to really come and help us at this point to do all the good work we do. And the only way we do it is because of the generosity of people giving at places like Giving Tuesday. So find out more about that by going to hssaz.org as well.
Steve Farley, what's the go-to side dishes for Steve Farley on Thanksgiving tomorrow?
I am big on Brussels sprouts. And I know some people have had bad experiences with them.
It's the old days. Everyone's having these nightmares of their parents over-boiling the crap out of Brussels sprouts.
My secret recipe is you cut them in half, sometimes in quarter if they're too big.
Yep.
You coat them in olive oil, salt and pepper, and roast them for 30 minutes. They're perfect. Even my three-year-old, when I had a three-year-old, loved them.
I do. That's a great way to do it. If you want to take it the special way, get the jalapeno bacon from the sausage shop, right?
Oh, my God.
Chop it up. Do it up in a pan, then throw the Brussels sprouts in with those.
Oh, wow.
And then bring it up.
Soak it up.
That's love. So happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you, and happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there.
Again, I was telling Bruce, but when we were talking about playing it, the idea that he used the owner of the Seattle Supersonica to rhyme with Hanukkah is just beautiful. So
that is true. NBA teams mostly owned, I think, by Jews.
Interesting.
Interestingly, yeah.
We're hanging out with Bruce Ash. We got another half hour to go here on the Wake Up Tucson show.
This is the high point of the 3 hours. is the turkey drop?
It's coming. It's coming in the next segment. So, let me ask you one last question. For you, your trip to Israel, what was your? There's lots of spiritual high points, but what was a spiritual high point for you when you went to Israel this last time?
So our group met with somebody that I have known for probably 25 years. His name is Avram Infeld. And Avram is old. He's got a bunch of his back teeth missing. He's kind of fat, but he is one of the smartest men I've ever met in my life. And we talked about a lot of things. But
what's this guy do?
He's a thinker. He ran Hillel International for many, many years and is still a consultant there.
That's a gig.
He's an amazing man, an educator, thinker, speaker. And he's from South Africa, went to Israel at a young age, an amazing man. Two things came from it. One is... As Jews, we talk because our sons and daughters are not necessarily marrying Jews, themselves. And there's lots of discussion about who is a Jew and about conversion. And he says, I hate the word conversion. He said, it really should be adoption, because Judaism is not just a religion. It's a people, and it's a family. And to convert is a totally different sort of a thing than adopt. And it resonated with a number of the men on our trip, and myself, whose children are married, not always to Jewish partners. And I was struck with that, with the importance of that to family, to families really coming together. I think it's just a great concept.
A great way to look at it, and especially since, you know, Christianity also, we refer to ourselves, everyone, we're supposed to be all children of God, right?
Right.
Right. So the adoption dynamic instead of the conversion dynamic
seems
to make a lot more sense.
Actually, yeah. The other is that we are, as a people, a family, a peoplehood. And, you know, sometimes in families we have arguments with one another. Sometimes in families, you know, there are estrangements and disagreements.
We're Republicans. We know all about family disagreements.
Right, we sure do. Infeld, I think, as a people, because we're dispersed all around the world, and he looks at Israel as a place where anybody can come to and become part of the peoplehood, part of the family, and increasingly so, there are more and more Jews who are making aliyah, as they call it.
Was he born a Jew?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Very Orthodox family, as most of them were in those days, and still is observant himself. And so lots more Americans making aliyah. Aliyah means to rise, to go up, meaning, you know, Jerusalem, the old city of Jerusalem, is on a hill.
Right.
Okay, it's on the mount. I also went to the Temple Mount for the first time in 24 or 5 or 6 visits.
Right.
I don't have time here to talk about how exhilarating it was to be there. You're not supposed to pray if you're a Jew. But I walked around, I probably said the Shema, which is the foremost prayer in Judaism. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. I probably said that like 3,000 times as I was walking through the place. And we also went into an archaeological dig, a Herodian road up to the Temple Mount, underground, because Jerusalem is a city where things keep getting built on top of one another.
Absolutely.
And it was amazing to see stones. King Herod had thousands of slaves, and they used the Jerusalem limestone for these roads. And we're walking on the stones that pilgrims walked on 2,500 years ago.
Let me ask you a question. Was it in better shape than Oracle Road?
Yes.
Okay.
yes. Yeah.
I'll make sure those $2,500-year-old roads are holding up compared to Pima County,
right,
in the city.
You know, the business there has really been hurt by the lack of tourism.
Sure.
Over the past couple of years with COVID. And we were in Jaffa. We walked from our hotel in Tel Aviv to Jaffa, which is the old ancient port city in the Tel Aviv area. And I'm standing on a corner waiting for my friend across the street. And this guy walks out, obviously an Israeli, but had very, very good English skills. And he says, I've been waiting for you for 2 years. Will you please come into my store? You know, only a Jew with chutzpah would say that to anybody.
What do you like to eat there when you're there?
Well, that was the other thing about Israel. I've always liked the food because it's so fresh. Farm to table there means something different than here in this country.
Right.
Farm to table there means what you eat that night probably came out of the ground earlier that day.
And that's kind of also, that part of the world, right, when you're in France, or especially not the cities, out in the country, that's kind of the attitude, right?
Right, right. World-class cooking. I think Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, particularly Tel Aviv, probably rate with any other major city for culinary anywhere in the world. Fish, lamb, beef, chicken, the whole nine yards. We had lots of schnitzel by choice, and we ate both in Arab restaurants as well as in Jewish restaurants. And for the first time ever, like I said, I've been going there since 1973. I never had Jewish food before.
Right.
Like Eastern European Jewish food.
Right.
We went to a restaurant in Jerusalem, and we had Jewish food, you know, with kind of roasted meats and with lots of grains and kind of gravy with the grains. I thought I was channeling my grandmother, stuffed cabbage like she used to make.
Because that's what I think a lot of Americans have that that misconception, right? That the kind of that you know, the kishka.
Right.
You know,
what's wrong with kishka? I love kishka. A little gravy on it
is something that's an Eastern European Jewish thing, yeah. Not a, right. You know, the Israeli
right.
thing.
Right.
And I think they don't understand the difference.
Right. And then probably one of the greatest things about cuisine in Israel are the Israeli breakfasts in the restaurants. Every smoked fish imaginable in the world, every kind of salad imaginable in the world, all kinds of dairy products. These are all dairy. It's not. This is kosher dairy, so that, you know, there's no meat and milk that's put together. And kashrut is still kind of an important thing. There are plenty of places you can go, and serve you know, get served a non-kosher meal, but different variations of kashrut are observed there, and they're, you know, dairy restaurants specifically. You know, you won't have meat there,
right?
But you can do a dairy meal. And boy, everything was just out of this world. And we went to the American Colony Hotel for dinner one night. Now, the American Colony Hotel is a hangout from the early British days during the British Mandate. It was where the Americans usually stayed in this.
It's got the word colony in it, for God's sake.
Tiny
sakes.
Enclave in Jerusalem.
Yep.
And we were in this basement area with the dome ceilings and stuff, kind of low dome ceilings, having drinks and having our meal.
Seems pretty posh.
It was historic.
Cool.
And it was just the sort of place I'd always wanted to go there. And for whatever reason, I had never been there before. And it was quite an experience.
All right. Well, I'm glad you had such a good time.
Yeah, it was a wonderful thing.
We're going to go to break. And the moment you've all been waiting for.
Oh, my goodness.
This is where we get there. It's the WKRP Turkey Drop here on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. From Holiday Inn, Bing Crosby, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Little Dew the mashed potato. I'm a supporter, strong supporter of mashed potatoes and gravy tomorrow. So
not a big fan.
Before we get to the turkey drop, what's your side dish?
I think my favorite one is my wife's green bean casserole, followed closely by her corn chowder with sausage.
Oh, you mentioned that to me, the corn chowder,
man.
And sausage.
Oh, it's just killer.
Very
just
nice.
Killer. Kids love it. It's been a big hit for years.
Sweet corn and sausage. How can you go wrong?
And cream and lots of butter. There's nothing bad there at all.
All the binding elements of the universe.
Everything comes together. It's like, you know, creation.
So something that we have enjoyed playing on today at this last segment, and it's from WKRP, and of course it's the infamous turkey drop, and it is based on a true story that the creator of this show, Hugh Wilson, learned of. And, you know, for me, one of my favorite parts of this is Ed Alexander always reminded me of Dr. Johnny Fever.
Yep.
So for me, this, I feel like that's why I've always had a soft spot for this show. So Matt, let's rock it out, buddy.
Fellow babies, and now it's time to go to our live remote man on the scene at the Pinedale Shopping Mall for the big WKRP turkey giveaway. So take it away, Les Nessman.
This is Les Nessman, your man on the scene here at the Pinedale Shopping Center, where the excitement is mounting. We're here to witness the big WKRP turkey Thanksgiving giveaway.
Hey, you got permission to be out here?
What?
You're blocking my store here, buddy.
Don't you know who I am? I'm Les Nessman. I won the Buckeye News Hawk Award last year.
Yeah!
Good for you, Buckeye. Now get out of my doorway.
I'm sorry. Creep?
So far, so good, huh?
I can't
witness what has been described as perhaps the greatest turkey event in Thanksgiving Day history. All we know for sure is that in a very few moments there are going to be a lot of happy people out here. Now, the crowd is... curious, but well-behaved. And I think I hear something now. The crowd is moving out into the parking area. And, oh yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter. And it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner. And it says, Happy... W-K-R-P. What a sight, ladies and gentlemen, what a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet in the air. Third. There's no parachutes yet.
I can't tell just yet what they are, but... Oh, my God, they're talking! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of our eyes! One just went through the windshield of a parked car!
Oh, the humanity!
Flying around, pushing each other? Oh, my goodness! Oh, the humanity!
There it is.
Running about, the turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement! I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this anymore. No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and oh, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd...
Les, are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. You just tuned in. The Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkeys. Film at 11.
Well, Mr. Cawley, a lot of turkeys don't make it through Thanksgiving.
Lonnie Anderson.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Yes. Goodbye. That was the Humane Society. They sounded pretty upset.
Steve Farley. Yeah.
It should have worked.
Can I help you?
No, I'm fine. Hey, Mr. Carlson. What's it like to ride in a helicopter? A lot of fun.
Mr. Carlson, could I get you a cup of coffee?
What? No, thank you, Jennifer. We agreed?
Huh? Sir, it was the most unusual promotion idea I ever heard of.
Never been anything else like it. No, I don't suppose there has. I thought it would work. I planned this thing right down to the last detail. It was perfect. Where'd you get those birds?
Here comes Les.
Les, are you okay?
I don't know. A man and his two children tried to kill me. After the turkeys hit the pavement, the crowd kind of scattered, but some of them tried to attack me. I had to jam myself into a phone booth. Then Mr. Carlson had the helicopter land in the middle of the parking lot. I guess he thought he could save the day by turning the rest of the turkeys loose. Gets pretty strange after that.
Oh, it's strange.
Yeah, right.
No, Les, come on now, tell us the rest.
I really don't know how to describe it. It was like the turkeys mounted a counterattack. It was almost as if they were organized.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
There it is.
Oh, that's great.
There it is, the WKRP turkey drop.
Only on KVOI.
Absolutely. Now that is, it's one of the greatest television Thanksgiving episodes ever.
Absolutely.
You know.
Thanks for sharing that again this year.
Thanks for being here, man, and doing it with me. So
good times.
Very
good
fun,
times.
Sir. So, well, you're going to have a good Thanksgiving tomorrow, I assume.
Going to be at the Outlaw's house for dinner, my
nice.
Son's in-laws, and a cast of thousands there. And it'll be a great thing. And then Sunday night, Erev Hanukkah, celebrating Hanukkah and a second Thanksgiving.
Awesome. Well, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank
happy
you.
Hanukkah.
And same to you.
And I will see you guys. Remember, we have a Christmas Hanukkah party on December 7th. Please join us. St. Philip's Plaza. We have a special holiday performance from the Tucson Boys Chorus, which will be totally great. So tomorrow we're going to do some best ofs. A variety of stuff, including my interview with Mr. Snerdly from the Rush Limbaugh
interview.
Show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to happen tomorrow. And then we have on Friday, we're going to be doing we're going to do three different Mother Road Brewery Mondays
nice.
That we've been doing with Matt, and just kind of keep it nice and light and chill out a little bit for your weekend. So.
We have Glenn Elmers on the show Saturday on Inside Track, 1 to 2, the entire show. The Soul of Politics, his new book about Harry V. Jaffa, the father of modern conservative movement in America. You think Bill Buckley? It was actually Harry Jaffa.
That's good. I can't stand Bill Buckley after a while. So, sir, have an amazing Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Everyone, have a great weekend. Happy Thanksgiving.